It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Friday, February 23rd. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. After waiving his initial court appearance, an arraignment date has been set for a Northeast Iowa man accused of killing his wife. 37-year-old Brandon Kassemeyer is facing a first-degree murder charge in the death of his estranged wife, Jamie Kassemeyer. She was found deceased at her home in Waukon the morning of January 22nd when Waukon police conducted a welfare check. According to court documents, officers had to force entry into the home and discovered Jamie dead with extensive injuries to her face. Investigators said an empty handgun case and several fired .22 caliber cartridge casings were also found in the home. It's believed she was killed on January 21st, the last day family members say they heard from Jamie. On January 23rd, the Larimer County Sheriff's Office arrested Brandon Kassemeyer in Loveland, Colorado, and allegedly found a .22 caliber revolver in his car, believed to be the murder weapon. Kassemeyer was extradited back to Northeast Iowa last week and was slated for his initial court appearance in Allamakee County District Court today. However, he waived the proceeding, and yesterday an arraignment was set for March 11th to formally charge Kassemeyer. He'll also be able to enter a plea at that time. Kassemeyer is being held without bond in the Allamakee County Jail with a bond review hearing scheduled for this Monday. Controversy over tower placement could slow down an estimated $5 million overhaul of Floyd County's emergency communications system. Last July, the Board of Supervisors greenlit an upgrade to the current 911 system, which has become too costly to constantly repair. Improvements would also get Floyd County on the statewide 911 ISIC system. However, a proposal to erect a tower as part of the project on the grounds of the Fossil and Prairie Park near Rockford has been met with resistance. One location is near the John Tumbleson Statue and Monument, which prompted a host of emails to the Board of Supervisors, acknowledged by Chair Mark Kuhn during Wednesday's supervisors' meeting.
I woke up this morning at 6:30, turned on my county computer, like I always do. At that time, there were probably 65 emails in the Board of Supervisors' email account, and by about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I counted 85 emails that arrived since 7:27 p.m. on Tuesday.
Kuhn said the email campaign was spearheaded by Joy Tumbleson, and he read part of her email.
But because I want the Board of Supervisors to know that this isn't a place that holds special meaning just to the people of Rockford and Floyd County, but it is a special place for all that visit and something that is celebrated by all, regardless of where they live. Why would you want to place a 300-foot tower in something the staff and our county has worked so hard to build and preserve, and it will detract from everything this land stands for?
Supervisor Jim Jorgensen challenged whether a tower site has been fully vetted.
I haven't spoke favorably of placing the tower on the Fossil Park property. Still not in favor of that today, only as an extreme last resort, because I do believe the communications tower is important, and you know, we're talking about law enforcement and our firemen's safety as well as our citizens. Every single option is exhausted. Maybe there could be some discussion that way, but I don't think we've exhausted those options at this time.
Supervisors did not approve a tower site location, but will explore the possibility of purchasing or renting land on a nearby property, not on Fossil and Prairie ground. Kuhn noted that the process to select and establish an alternate site could slow the communications project down by a couple of months. Still, it could be late 2025 before the new 911 system would be operational in the county. City Hall in Charles City could be in line for an overdue makeover. During Wednesday night's City Council meeting, City Administrator Steve Deers explained that addressing the outdated building has been on the radar for several years.
Accessibility, safety, you know, better use of space. I mean, the design inlets on that side over there, they're good at catching leaves and dirt and taking away our usable space. Does it seem reasonable to be able to push those out? I don't know, maybe, maybe not, but people need to be able to get in and out of this building, and our accessibility is terrible. And, it, you know, the brick and everything is, you know, falling apart outside, so we really need to do something.
The council also heard from Christy King with Berglund and Cram Architects, which approached the city to contract their services to design upgrades and improvements to extend the life of City Hall.
Future, right? So if you've existed in this building for, has it been 50 years? And you're going to invest a good deal of money into it to make it usable again for the next potential 50 years. We're going to want to also think about not just how do we set you up for 10 years down the road, but for 50 years down the road, how do we make it flexible?
The council also asked King to provide cost analysis to possibly construct a new city hall, which Deers noted would take a bond referendum to pay for, although he doubts the chances of passage. Relocating to an existing city-owned property could also be on the table, but Deers added that the cost will dictate the direction the city takes. The council voted to hire Berglund & Cram for almost $20,000 to analyze and make recommendations as to what the options are. Since city ARPA funds will pay for the study, it must be done by the end of this year, but any actual renovations are to be part of the capital improvement plan for the 2025-26 fiscal year. The Charles City Park Rec Department is off to a strong start to establish a monopoly on building an all-inclusive playground. Director Tyler Mitchell says they launched a fundraiser Wednesday night to sell sponsorships to local businesses for spots on customized Charles City Monopoly game boards.
We're making 500 boards, so if you bought the Park Place spot, your logo and your business will be on that spot for all 500 boards. And when you're drawing cards for properties, buying properties, it's not known as Park Place, it's known as your business. You get 500 boards made, getting played by anyone who could be playing Monopoly with their friends or whatever, you're spending less than a dollar per board in advertisement, and it's helping a good cause.
Mitchell says over half of the spots on the Monopoly board were sold within the first 24 hours. Sales of sponsorships and the boards themselves could raise around $25,000 towards the overall cost of about $240,000, although Mitchell notes the biggest expense is not the playground equipment itself.
Surfacing to make it all inclusive for wheelchair accessibility, walkers, anything like that, that is where a lot of this cost comes. That you're looking anywhere from $70,000 to $100,000 just in that surfacing compared to wood chips.
Mitchell adds that the Park Rec Department has also been setting aside money in their budget for the all-inclusive playground at Sportsman's Park, hopefully to be built by this September at the latest. They're also applying for grants to help cover costs, and Mitchell says the project will also benefit from a $50,000 private donation. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.